It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Fired up on Lions Radio, and why not? This was a team that trailed 23-7 at halftime. Your quarterback throws 5, count them up, 5 interceptions, and you still walk away a winner. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. That was a crazy one, and you know, the Lions, Prof, maybe one of their best wins of the season. I think Green Bay was also a really good win in Lambeau. And but, if you're Houston, you've got to feel just like nothing is going right over the last 2 weeks.
So I want to get this right, because you're using Chris Collinsworth logic here, that that's one of your best wins. Is it better to win like 47-10 than to win a 5-interception game 23-22? I think, or whatever the score was, sorry if I haven't.
The final score was 26-23.
Right. Is it better to blow somebody out than to win, I will call it, a lucky game? And here's the only reason, because if I had to pick a Super Bowl team right now, it would be the Lions. But you did see when Jared Goff doesn't have the run game, he is quite mortal. So that, I think, is the big issue with the Lions. I actually came away a touch worried about them, even though there is reason to appreciate their quote-unquote grit.
Yeah, no, I don't think you really learn a lot about your team when you beat the Titans 52-14.
Right, but there's a lot of metrics that Super Bowl teams tend to blow out a lot of teams.
Right, so they've got that too. Yeah. You know, they've got big wins 47-9 over the Cowboys. You know, they've got the massive win against the Titans, as I said. They still did beat the Packers by 10 on the road. Seahawks, they destroyed. So they have that too. 5-0 on the road, I think no matter how you slice it, is impressive. And the Texans are going through a bit of a mini slump here, partly due to injuries, partly due to some terrible second halves where they cannot make an adjustment back to an adjustment. They have not scored a touchdown in the second half since in weeks. I think week six, against the Patriots. That's not good. So I'm seeing a little bit of a downward trend here with Houston. But even still, they're a division leader. They are a contender. So I think for the Lions to come away with a win, yeah, I do think that is a good sign. You can win when all things are going against you.
So the Lions have gotten through most of the hard part of their schedule. They have a couple games remaining. I think that what I saw last night is like the Lions, I think, are to give one away. And I don't mean that in like a really super meaningful way. I felt like they tried to give away last night's game. Just like they're a bit... They're a bit of one of these, they have the greatest show on turf, high wire act, feel like. Their offense usually overwhelms people. I did see C.J. Stroud in the first half especially. He had a lot of time. I don't think the Lions got more. Aileen McNeil did get a sack. But generally, like, you got to remember, they did lose their defensive player of the year, Aiden Hutchinson. I do feel good about the Lions, but I can walk away and say, ooh, this is a bit, there's some warts on this team.
Well, yeah, okay. I mean, the interceptions were not so egregious. There was a lot of tip passes, tip balls that the, you know, Houston defenders really had to be super athletic to come down with these. And you got some timely kicking. I don't know. I think this was, to me, I'm going to be honest, I thought this was more about Houston. This is a good win for Detroit, and we should sing their praises today. But to me, it was more about Houston. This was a team that the bar got set very high for. And the last 2 weeks, to lose to the Jets on the road, the Jets are a terrible team. And then to get a mini bye, come home, have a lead, and not be able to salt it away in the second half or just keep your foot on the gas, that is alarming to me.
Yeah, I guess alarming depending on where your expectations are for the team. The only thing I would say is get Nico Collins back in there, get Will Anderson in there, and then let's judge him. I think Nico Collins, because he's not a big name, he's not like, I don't know, CeeDee Lamb or Tyreek Hill, I think he might be the most impactful injury out there, because he's probably, I mean, I saw a stat. He is so far and away the most efficient receiver in the game right now. He's averaging 102 yards a game. The next closest guy is like 85 yards a game. If you put Nico Collins in that game last night, I think C.J. Stroud feels much more comfortable. Because Stroud was searching desperately for plays, running around like crazy, just trying to find someone to throw to. And the Diggs injury, too. Like, those two combined have really, really hurt this team.
Yeah, I get it. But, see, here's the reason why it's hard for me to use that as an excuse. They scored 23 points in the first half. And I get it. Jared Goff threw three picks. But it's like you don't have a problem scoring in the first half. So we're not talking about the Diggs injury. We're not talking about Nico Collins in the first half, but then we're going to talk about him in the second half. Like, where's the logic there?
They should have, with all those turnovers, they should have a lot more points. Like, they had a chance to put it away early, and they kind of blew it in the first half, too.
So they scored 10 points off of five turnovers. You're right. That's not enough. A touchdown and a field goal off of five turnovers, that's got to be a lot. You got to make people pay a lot worse than they were able to do.
Yeah, they were just not moving the ball. And I know Joe Mixon well because he was Andy Dalton's running back a couple times. He will giveth and taketh. Like, that guy will run into the line and get a 1 yard loss again and again and again. So Bobby Slowick, their offensive coordinator, is really committed to the run, and it was just burning them last night. They just put Stroud in so many tough positions. I'm curious what they learned from this. Yeah, you're right. It's definitely concerning. I'm just going to give them a little bit of a respite.
855-212-4227. Yeah, so the Lions go to 8-1, even though Goff threw five picks. Again, not all of them his fault. We basically have two themes of the show today. One is Perloff is owning up to stuff that he feels like he may have gotten wrong or partially wrong, just about sports in general. And the second is teams that blew it. And we're going to have a ranking later of five teams and people and things really blew it bad this weekend. And I don't know if the Jets are going to make your list, Perloff, but not even just yesterday's game to go to Arizona and get smoked by the Cardinals, but this whole season. Because you kept doubling down and doubling down. Who else does Rodgers need? Adams. Okay, we already have Lazard here. We already got his offensive coordinator. Okay, he had to get put to the side. All of the things, like, they just kept going deeper with Rodgers and whatever he needed. It's not been good. Hit the music, Manny.
What the f*** is Aaron Rodgers up to today?
Normally this is a quote, but I believe we have a highlight for this today. Yes? No? Yes, we do have a highlight. What's up with Aaron Rodgers? Sound a little like this.
Rodgers escapes. Rodgers, football's out.
Bad. That was bad. That was at the goal line, and Rodgers gets caught from behind because he can't move.
Yep.
And it was just a disaster, Perloff. And now Rodgers is getting pretty short with the media, talking about how emotional these things are. They're asking him to elaborate. He's not doing it. It's not the right time or place. I mean, this has just been a brutal season. They've got three wins.
Totally. Yesterday, not on Rodgers, in my opinion. Let me just read you the drive charts. First drive, Cardinals, 6 plays, 70 yards, touchdown. Second drive, Cardinals, 9 plays, 70 yards, touchdown. Third drive, Cardinals, 10 plays, 76 yards, touchdown. What on earth happened to the Jets' defense, Maggie?
They're gone. They're a shade and shell of themselves. I mean, and I know Sauce Gardner has been wearing it a lot, but he has Trey McBride caught. Like, he's, and then somehow McBride gets out of it and continues for another 5 yards. The tackling has just been atrocious.
The guy glows in the dark.
I have no idea who he was talking about there. I have one for you. By the way, Rodgers has never been, was it 3-7? He's never been 3-7 in his career as a professional that's spent 20 years. Yeah, you're not in Green Bay anymore.
Well, they weren't 3-7 that last year in Green Bay when he was thinking about shutting it down the whole time?
I don't think
they
so.
They were close.
I don't think so.
How about this from Rich Cimini of ESPN? The Jets defense missed 20 tackles, tied for the most by any team in a game this season. And a Jets fan site added on that the Cardinals running backs carried the ball 28 times on the day, and the Jets missed 20 total tackles.
Don't be a freaking weirdo.
EJ, I know it was a tough weekend for you, pal. Miami Hurricanes go down to Georgia Tech. Then the Jets. Even the Knicks lost last night. You really can't buy a bucket right now.
He's a bum.
It wasn't fun. But good news for me, I've emotionally removed myself from the Jets situation.
Okay.
They can't hurt me. And I'm sitting there again with friends watching this game as the Jets try to embarrass me. And I said, nope, not happening. I am not invested in this team until Aaron Rodgers steps on the field, goes right to midfield at MetLife Stadium and says, I'm sorry for what's happened. I'm officially retiring as quarterback for the New York Jets and in the National Football League. When that happens, I'm right back in. Until then, I watch the games, watch them get smoked every week, and I'm not going to get myself upset about this.
But that's an out.
I don't think so.
That's an out, EJ. What if he says, I'm retiring, and then comes back and plays for the Dolphins or something?
He can play wherever the hell he wants.
Okay, but you know what happened with Favre.
This ain't Brett Favre. This is not Brett Favre.
He is exactly Brett Favre. There are no two human beings on the planet who are more alike than Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre.
I know what you're saying, but Brett Favre looked better than this. Aaron Rodgers hasn't looked right from the beginning. Brett Favre gave me a couple of months where he looked pretty good. This has been bad from the start.
Well, yeah, Favre was healthy to start his first season with the Jets, and then he got hurt as opposed to Rodgers got hurt right away. It's just amazing to me how quickly this changed. It was, he's the savior who's going to come and win a Lombardi, to you cannot wait to get this guy out of town.
Go to a pub and have a Guinness?
I think that's the feelings of a lot of the fan base. And I think Perloff is not wrong. I don't know if Rodgers was not the number one issue yesterday. But the problem, again, becomes this is supposed to be a premium. You have a quarterback. So, all right, when the defense is having a really bad game, he can keep you in it. And they go to the red zone, and they're settling for field goals. They can't convert fourth down. Like, he can't keep up with Kyler Murray.
Yeah.
Again, this is supposed to be Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, but you're not seeing real Aaron Rodgers. You could tell the injury affects every single thing he does. He's going to be a different player next year for some other team.
I'm surprised he keeps getting up. You know, awkward one yesterday where it looked like his cleat got stuck in the turf or whatever it is, grass out there. I know they got some.
Like a combination.
Combos.
Yeah, it's technically grass, but yeah.
But it like got caught, and yeah, I was like, that's it. And it's like, no, he's actually got up.
I'm offended.
Went into the tent at one point. I think he's going to be a different player next year. I think he just needed a year to understand what was going on with his body. That sounds like such an Aaron Rodgers thing, like in a holistic way.
The only slither I think Aaron Rodgers has is, whether it's with the Jets or any other team, he needs to go someplace where they just throw out anything involving old Packers-type offense. Because everything the Jets do looks so hard. You have Davante Adams, you have Garrett Wilson, you have Breece Hall. These guys are just supposed to get the ball in space from time to time. They're not supposed to be, they get the ball and there's 10 guys next to them. Like, everything looks so hard. I think part of it is because they don't scheme anybody open. Aaron Rodgers thinks he can just throw it in any window, or you just do this little hand signal and he's going to get to the right spot. And it's not working. He needs to get to a Ben Johnson or get to one of these high-powered offensive coaches who can say, listen, Aaron, I know how you did it 8 years ago under the old Mike McCarthy offense that you kind of jigsawed into your own thing. That's dead. You need to play new school football.
You're going to teach a 41-year-old quarterback a brand new offense? What are you talking about?
This offense sucks. I don't think that he can do what he's trying to do right now with any team. That's why I'm not convinced it's going to work.
I got to tell you right now, you're going to get what you deserve here. He's going to go somewhere else and be awesome next year.
I'm going to disagree with both of you guys on this thing. If you think Rodgers is going anywhere, you're out of your skulls.
He is
coming back next year. He's got the keys to the whole organization. Davante Adams is here. Like, no, there's no, he's going to go to Miami. Like, that's not happening.
Shout out to all the women backing up the fellas.
If he's going to play next year, it's going to be with the Jets.
That'd be nice if they could get in Miami, though.
By the way, Adams, 13 targets yesterday. He had 6 catches for 31 yards. He's got to be like, what am I doing here? But you know what? That's on him too. And by the way, the amount of times that both Rodgers and Davante Adams have cited a lack of energy by the team is also, frankly, quite embarrassing. You're off the mini bye. You should be rested. You go on the road. They were favored in this game, which felt weird. No energy?
I mean, I don't buy it, honestly. Like, at a certain point, you can't keep every time you lose saying we lost because we had no energy. You're just a bad team. You're overrated. The players you thought were better are not that good. Your offensive line that you overhauled is too old and not up to snuff. They're just not good. Every time they lose, it's energy. It's like, no, the other team's better.
Do you remember when Robert Saleh got fired and one of the reasons was because the owner said this is the best Jets team of the last 25 years?
What in the f*** was that?
That was laughable when he said that.
But having said, like,
bad, but come on,
you do
man.
Have an interim. Like, Jeff Ulbrich's your coach right now. Like, I'm not sure your expectations should have been that high. And he's got a. Is he still trying to call the defensive plays and be the coach?
Yes,
that's a disaster. I mean, come on. I mean, they fired Saleh. That was a huge mistake. They probably would have eked out another win or two. So, I think the question that I'm telling you, he's Favre. He's going to have another good year. It's in him. I really believe it. Probably, you're right, Maggie, because of the cap, it probably will be with the Jets. I'm just very curious what they do. If they can fix a lot of these things, I think Rodgers looks okay. The guy still kind of slings it a little bit.
I think it's about hubris why he's still going to be with the Jets. I think that he feels like he and he alone can fix it.
Brett Favre.
He's got this huge cap hit. I don't think he can go anywhere else, and he definitely doesn't want to go out this way. I got one. What if he went to Cleveland? No, that would be awesome.
Oh my gosh.
Going against the Ravens and those defenses? Oh, my God.
Yeah, I know. But please, imagine, I'm just picturing him and Deshaun Watson in the locker room together, just what would be said and what would happen.
Oh, my gosh. It'd be like some bizarro presidential ticket in the year 2040.
He should go indoors. Like, he should go to New Orleans or should go to Miami. Like, he ain't young. He's got to find a warmer spot than New York.
You don't see a problem just fundamentally. I know it's a little Jets inside. But to me, their offense fundamentally looks wrong. It just doesn't look smooth.
No, it's
nothing
hard.
Looks easy. Everything is hard.
EJ, he had one pass yesterday that went over 10 air yards. It's Aaron Rodgers. Like, this is the best and the biggest offensive play of the game was a dump off to Breece Hall that went for 15 yards. That was it.
And those are their best chances of making any big plays right now.
Well, he just can't, like, his secret sauce was always pocket movement. He can't do anything. He's just a statue. And you also, dude, you trade for a 30-something-year-old receiver. That usually doesn't work out, and it's clearly not working out here.
855-212-4227. All right, so this season's over for the Jets, but what about next year? Is Rodgers still in New York? And this is what's a bummer about it for EJ and the like, is that Denver lost yesterday on the last-second blocked field goal by the Chiefs. Indy lost yesterday to my Buffalo Bills. So you thought, here's the lane. Like, and if the Jets had won yesterday, then it's like, oh, you can see the path and the wild card and all of that. And
really?
Nope.
I feel like they're going to be 5-12. Is that really?
No,
like,
before the game started, were like, all right, these things are breaking right for the Jets to sneak back in the playoffs.
I never thought that. I just for the clear, they were favored against Arizona.
like the math.
Well, I think I said on the show when, like, actually you and EJ were both talking about, like, they're 3-6. What are you talking about? Or they were actually 2-6, right, at a certain point.
Yep.
They had no room for error whatsoever. I don't understand. Can you explain the spread to me, too?
I can't. There were a couple wrong teams favored.
Well, people don't trust the Arizona Cardinals. That is a fact.
I think there might be good.
They might be good. But again, like, their level of competition is so bizarre. Like, you just do not know. There are a lot of, that's the story of the NFL to me. Like, you know, like, you beat this team. Like, the Eagles beat the Cowboys. Does that mean anything? The Vikings beat the Jags. Does that mean anything? The Cardinals beat this Jets team. This Jets team might be awful.
So, the Cardinals also beat the 49ers, but does that mean anything?
Yeah, but did they beat them, or did the 49ers creatively hand them away by having 19 special teams mistakes?
Well, here's the thing about the Arizona Cardinals. It's pretty fun when you watch Kyler Murray throwing those back shoulder passes to Marvin Harrison Jr. That looks like something.
Yeah,
Trey McBride has been very good. Like, they don't have, besides Marvin Harrison, they don't have this who's who receiving core. And the defense, name five people on that defense besides Buda Baker. Can't do it. It's impressive.
But then there'll be a game where Kyler throws for 130 yards, too. He's not Again, I think there's still some mystery around this Cardinals team. But, I mean, you've been on him. I think James Conner is a stud as long as he's leading the way. He's like the toughest dude I've ever seen in my life. I think the Niners, for example, if they play again, I would not bet on the Cardinals in that game.
855-212-4227. All right, so last night's game, Lions win despite 5 interceptions from Jared Goff. They kick a game-winning field goal at the buzzer. 2 50-plus yard field goals in an epic comeback. 19 unanswered points they scored against the Houston Texans, and so the Lions move to 8-1. And then just, you want to see real darkness. Forget that hovel that Aaron Rodgers was living in for 4 days. This is real darkness. Just getting your clock cleaned on the road to the Arizona Cardinals, and now that season is in free fall. Lots more to do, including a full ranking of who blew it yesterday. Maggie and Perloff.
All right, Maggie. Football season in full swing. I won last night on Jahmyr Gibbs, who I always bet the over on. Tonight, I'm relying on Puka Nacua, and I'm talking about Prize Picks. Best place to get real money sports action while watching football. With over 10 million members, billions of dollars in awards winning. It's made daily fantasy sports accessible to all. So easy. You just pick a player, two players, pick more or less on their projection. You could win up to 100 times your money.
Okay, how about this for you? Would you like a little Tyreek Hill, more than 75 and a half receiving yards, and you compare that with a little Josh Giddey, more than 5.5 assists? See, this is the cool part about Prize Picks. When you get to do multiple picks over different sports, didn't even mention the flex play, so I'm going to do that right now, where you can cash out if one of your picks doesn't hit. This has been the obsession of Perloff and I all season long, and we want you to get on board. Just download the Prize Picks app today. Use the code M&P. Some people think that's pronounced Manned P. M&P. Get a $50 credit instantly when you play $5. That's code M&P on Prize Picks to get a $50 credit instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks. Run your game. Must be present in certain states where it's lawful to wager. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
Manned P.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. I love the topic line for Adrian in Maryland. It's very funny to me. It's about the New York Jets. Let's go to Adrian. Adrian, I'll let you say it. What do you think of the Jets' playoff chances?
Hey, they're dead and gone. They're dead and gone, as I told EJ. I know he's a Jets fan, and I want to tell him, you know, maybe, maybe not. But I'm a Cowboys fan. Come sit on the seat, on the sofa with us, start watching the game, and get the draft pick. Aaron Rodgers is not 28 years old anymore. Everybody's they're during games that they're favored to win, and they shouldn't be. They got Tyron Smith that's old. The only one that's really playing hard out there is Garrett Wilson. Devontae Smith is old. He's 30 years old.
Devontae Adams.
I'm sorry. You're not getting that out of them. I don't. And when whoever the Vegas did and said the Jets were favored in that game yesterday, they didn't watch Arizona play the last few weeks.
Adrian, the line here that EJ wrote, Jets' path to playoffs never existed. We should just pin that. You know how you can pin something on your social media profile? Jets' path to playoffs never existed. It was just a figment of their imagination.
They got to their third win, and they had a win against New England, Tennessee, and a banged-up Houston team, and now they're going to make a run? It's just crazy. And Maggie, I'm 100% with you with Houston. You get five turnovers. That should be a blowout game. Yesterday, the Eagles got five turnovers, and it was a blowout. So, I'm on Detroit's bandwagon. They're good, but that game, Houston has to win that game somehow. I don't care who's out, who they have, and who they don't have as far as a receiver. Five turnovers, and then C.J. Stroud gives it back to him, I think, three times. Did he throw three picks as well?
He threw two picks yesterday for Stroud.
Two. The telecast said the teams had a combined seven picks with halftime? Or through three quarters, which is...
Yeah, crazy.
I just want to console EJ. EJ, like I said, come sit on the seat with us. The good thing about you with the Jets is you only got one more year of it. Cowboys got four more years of it, and Dak's getting worse as he gets older. As you can see.
Oh, I love it, Adrian. Let's do who's more miserable, Jets fan base, Cowboys fan base. That's a great poll question. Yeah. Adrian, always appreciate your perspective.
Can you put both as an answer? Is that fair?
No, that's a cop-out. You got to pick one.
Well, can we put Manny's Giants on there, too?
See, here's the thing about the Giants yesterday. Manny, Bogus is here, both Giants fans. You had that game yesterday, but you know the season is long over. Now you're going for draft pick status to try to replace Daniel Jones. So that loss yesterday was actually a good thing in the long run.
Yeah, but sneak peek, you're going to blow that draft pick. Unless Joe Shane's son is making the pick, who's apparently the brilliant one who said, get Jaden Daniels no matter what you do. That is not going to go well.
The Giants need to get Shane's son And that guy who asked him the questions, what is our identity without Saquon Barkley? Because I don't know it. And then Joe Shane had no answer. Those two guys, Shane's son and random assistant, those guys should run the Giants moving forward.
Honestly, how the Giants, who so like feverishly and fervently avoided Hard Knocks in training camp, right? Wouldn't do it, did not want to let people into the building that way, but thought the front office, when you've been one of the worst teams over the last, are we going on a decade here, guys? One of the worst teams in the NFL to let everyone in on what your front office was doing. Who thought that was a good idea? I question the decision-making of anybody.
Well, there was. I mean, we did get Joe Shane's son.
who looked brilliant. Up from his phone for 4 seconds to be like, you need a quarterback.
I did like the people involved. You get to like them. You just don't want them to make your draft choices. Like Joe Shane's family, Joe Shane and Dan Morgan of the Panthers being best friends. That was heartwarming.
Sure. Tell that to Bogus or Manny who have to watch this.
Bogus loved it. He was all hype about that silly show.
Well, here's the funny part about, this is what I don't understand. I need an answer from Giants fans, and we've got two on the show. Daniel Jones has an injury guarantee in his contract, right? So you're how many games away? You're 7 games away from just getting out of this thing relatively scot-free, except if he gets hurt. Why is he out there? Bogish, I'll go to you first on this one. Explain this to me.
Yeah, I can't. He shouldn't be out there for football reasons. Like, the entire world at halftime yesterday was like, okay, uncle. Like,
literally the
else.
World. The game somebody was in Munich.
Else, somebody else needs to play quarterback for the Giants. But then you throw in the fact that they, as you just said, they lose their escape route if he's hurt and for whatever reason he can't play next year, money gets locked in. Now they're going on their bye. This is the time to make a change for whatever reason is now with the extra time before your next game, but I don't trust them to make that decision.
I mean, why would you? Why would you? If he plays another down, everyone needs their head examined in that entire franchise.
That playoff season, the long answer is that playoff run was the absolute worst thing to happen to them because it changed. It just messed them up too much. Had they not made the playoffs, they just sucked that year 2 seasons ago. I think they'd be on a different trajectory, but that messed them up, gave them a false sense of hope. And here we are locked into him for too long. And other guys are gone. Other mistakes happened. It's a disaster.
Felt bad for Tyrone Tracy yesterday. Felt bad for him.
Germany yesterday.
I think they're going to be all right. They're soccer country. But Tyrone Tracy, the rookie, fumbled in overtime. There was another rookie for the Commanders, Johnny Newton jumped in the neutral zone. That handed the Pittsburgh Steelers the game. Just a lot of people blew it yesterday. We actually have a ranking of those coming up. Bogues, hold tight 1 second. I just want to get to Kevin in Oregon. Kevin, you want to weigh in on Mike McCarthy. You have a plan for how the Cowboys can get rid of McCarthy.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty clear that he needs to go. And my thought is if someone brings him a dozen donuts every morning, it would be the perfect murder.
Kevin, that's not right.
Dark, but I'm sorry. He still needs to go.
Kevin, you know what? I'm going to give you points for creativity, but I'm going to take away points for cruelty. So you come out net zero.
Death by donuts could be a lot worse, just saying.
Oh, yeah. Thing,
of all things.
What a way to go.
Yeah. I do love myself some donuts.
How do we know that's Mike McCarthy's, you know, Achilles heel? How do we know he's a sweets guy? He might be a savory.
True. It's the eye test.
I was about to say.
he could be more of a fried food guy and not so much a donut guy. You don't know people's palates.
I don't think it's a stretch to say Mike McCarthy might like donuts.
Why is that, Pearl?
I mean,
Everyone should like donuts.
The two coaches who were apparently matinee idol good looking, Mike McCarthy used to be really, I think it was him, was really good looking as a young man.
Yeah.
And that coach, Tom Thibodeau, was like a male model. Now he's like, he looks like the Penguin.
EJ,
can you confirm?
Pearl's 100% right. You ever seen these pictures?
Male model.
Oh, he's have a shirt off.
I have the picture saved on my phone.
Of course you do.
Really? Yeah, absolutely.
We're going to have an intervention after the show.
Mike McCarthy, look at pictures of young Mike McCarthy, Maggie. You'd be like, whoa, look at that guy.
I mean, I can squint and see it. The Tom Thibodeau, no shot. No shot. All right, folks, give us some headlines.
They're sponsored by PXG Golf. Staying long and straight on the golf course is easier than ever with PXG clubs. Take your game to a whole new level and save $10 per club at pxg.com/football and use code football.
Don't look at me, please.
The Detroit Lions are the first team since 1970 to win, despite throwing 5 interceptions and trailing by 15-plus points. Jared Goff's 3 first-half picks had them down 23-7 halfway through Sunday Night Football in Houston. He threw 2 more in the third, slowing down his team's comeback, but they did eventually finish it off.
There's the snap, spot, kick away. It is up, and it is... good! He got it! We're going to fly home on the wings of Jake Banks! Oh, baby! Good from 58! Good from 52! And that's good enough for a victory for the Detroit Lions!
26-23. Bates good from 52, just inside the left upright. That 58-yarder they mentioned tied the game with 5 minutes left. Goff really appreciated the second-half shutout from their defense.
Our defense really bailed us out. They really did all day, and the guys stuck with me on offense. And I was telling them, "Hey, man, I'm good. Just hang in there, and I'm good. I'm gonna have this thing figured out." And they stuck with me.
The Lions now 5-for-5 on the road. They're 8-1 overall for the first time since 1954. Meanwhile, 2 straight losses for the Texans. They're now 6-4 overall, but still 2 games clear of the rest of the AFC South. C.J. Stroud threw 2 picks in that second half slump. Bucks-Celtics yesterday afternoon gave us something fun. Giannis nearly decapitated Jaylen Brown with an elbow as he spun towards the rim. An offensive foul was called. Afterwards, Giannis offered his hand as an "I'm sorry" handshake. Then did that move where you pull it back and fix your hair, which led to Brown saying this post game.
Giannis is a child. You know, I'm just focused on helping my team get a win, and that's what we did tonight.
Boston winning 113-107 over baby Giannis.
I mean, that is the lame move, though.
It is pretty lame.
He's not wrong. Jaylen Brown is not wrong.
By the way, that's the funny part of what's been going on with Giannis over the last couple days.
He's going through it right now.
And he's gone. He's gone. I mean, he's been laying breadcrumbs for this for like almost a year.
It's freaking unreal.
But now, you already said Friday, Perloff, they got beaten by...
Knicks.
25 points, right?
Yeah, it's crushed, yeah.
Not competitive. And he got so mad that there was an Associated Press reporter who was in the scrum, and the guy just happened to like sigh loudly at the wrong time. He said he meant nothing by it, and Giannis was like, "If you don't like it, leave," to the reporter. Unraveling.
Fraying at the seams here. We need Doc Rivers. It should be more fun than this, though. The Bucks. First of all, I'm so happy this happened. I predicted this would happen. As soon as they got rid of Adrian Griffin, I was like, this is a mistake. And they're going to this freaking clown Doc Rivers who's going to drive them into the sewer. And I thought it'd be more fun, but this has almost become sad. Like, Doc doesn't even have excuses anymore.
I know. We don't even get the spin doctor anymore. It's such a bummer.
The Thunder lost to the Warriors last night, 127-116, and they lost Chet Holmgren for a long time. He has a right pelvic fracture after crashing down on his hip after a midair collision with Andrew Wiggins. OKC says the next update on Holmgren will be in 8 to 10 weeks. LeBron, 19 points, 10 rebounds, 16 assists in the Lakers' 123-103 home win over the Raptors. Anthony Davis left that one in the third after getting poked in the eye, and that's all that happened to him. And the Sixers didn't lose yesterday. Hooray, but they did eat overtime to fight off the Hornets, 107-105. College Hoops, Todd Golden will coach Florida tonight against Grambling State while remaining the focus of a Title IX investigation. Multiple women have accused Golden of sexual harassment and cyber stalking. Joey Logano is the NASCAR champion for a third time. And from the NHL, our San Jose Sharks have come for a visit. 1-0 winners over the Devils in Jersey yesterday, just a few minutes away from our studios. Former Devil Mackenzie Blackwood with a 44-save shutout. Guys, back to you.
Bogish, thanks so much. Yeah, Florida. We care about women. Oh, no, we don't, actually. It's like, that's depressing. Did you guys, I know we don't do like any politics on the show because why would we? And no one wants to hear about politics from us. But did you hear the joke that they made on Saturday Night Live about Bronny James?
Oh, yeah, yeah, I did, actually.
I didn't.
It was a Weekend Update joke. So they're at the desk and they were talking about the election and they said that it was such a landslide that they put, at one point, they put Bronny in the game. It was such a blowout, they put Bronny in the game. So it did make sports and politics intersecting on SNL. They'll do a better job with that than we will, yes.
And what I was going to say, by the way, while you're mentioning Weekend Update, Colin Jost, one of the co-hosts of that segment, went to the same high school as me. So in my effort to contribute to the show, I try to track down a contact for Colin Jost for Celebrity Guest Picker.
Yeah.
Ooh. You'll be shocked to hear that that email has gone unanswered now on month three.
But did you tell them it's us?
Actually, forget him. Get his wife. Might as well get Scarlett Johansson on the show.
Well, I think if we got Colin this year, we could do ScarJo next year once we're all friends. That seems like the natural progression.
Okay.
I mean, Colin Jost, definitely the gateway drug to Scarlett Johansson. That makes tons of sense.
You might have to go about 14 rungs down on the SNL list to get us somebody on the show. Colin Jost is going to be tough.
But he knows... He knows I'm alive. We were in the school at the same time, so he knows of my existence.
Nice guy.
Yeah, of course. Everyone in my school was a nice guy.
He seems kind of pompous. Didn't he go to Princeton?
He went to Harvard.
Sure he went to somewhere fancy. Yes. Yeah.
You went to Dartmouth.
I know.
Well, yeah.
Is this some kind of weird Ivy League like Spider-Man meme pointing at each other when you're all insufferable, or no?
Well, it's just, I thought he went to Princeton. You're right, he went to Harvard. Harvard and Princeton are particularly obnoxious, as I always tell our friend Ross Tucker.
Because all those Yaleys are real awesome. Like, who said nobody ever?
Yale? No. Yale people are great. Go to Princeton for a weekend, then let's have this conversation.
Hang out a street corner? I couldn't get in.
Go to one of their quote-unquote eating clubs? That's a whole new level of snooty.
Yeah, I'm sure. Okay. Bogus, thank you. Oh, I see Big Dave's on the line. Okay. Dave's got beef with us. Tell Dave, hold tight. Get to him. Got to get his take on the Cowboys yesterday, even though he claims to have jumped off the Cowboys bandwagon, but he's always got an opinion about him. Get to that next. M&P.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I went to a rave this weekend.
What?
Way too old for that.
You went to
a
rave? Did you take a time machine to 1999?
Raves are back.
Raves are not back.
Raves are huge, man.
They are.
Raves, like old school raves? Like a warehouse and glow sticks?
Well, this wasn't in a warehouse and there were no glow sticks. Then
how
was
it a rave?
Because it was techno music of people dancing with their eyes closed. Boom. It's a rave.
That's not a rave.
It felt like a rave. It was a rave.
We're still raving in 2024.
But now you have to like go through Ticketmaster to go to a rave. This is not an abandoned warehouse like a real rave.
It was not an abandoned warehouse. I would not do that because I'm too old. Too old for that. But I went to my version of a rave.
So did you close your eyes and dance to EDM?
Yeah. And you want to know what? I wasn't on any drugs at all, but I don't do that. But I learned some things at that rave about younger people today and about people like myself, the plus 40 crowd, probably shouldn't be at raves.
Go ahead.
Hold on. First, let me get to Big Dave. He's in Kentucky. Dave, were you watching the Cowboys and were you laughing or crying?
I did watch them, actually, and I really wasn't doing either. By the way, for the record, it would be my bet that Mike McCarthy eats fried donuts. So
Best of both. Best of both worlds.
Hey. Yeah, listen, stock up, stock down real quick, and then I have a very interesting poll question for you guys.
Okay,
stock
go ahead.
Stock up Russell Wilson and the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think they are playing football probably of anybody in the league. And it makes the debate over him and Justin Fields seem more absurd with every passing game. Now, check my stock down. Hear me out. Stock down. Okay, you guys ready?
Yep.
The Kansas City Chiefs. And let me tell you why. They keep skating by. Because they're not playing great. They keep skating by. Mother Karma is going to show up at the worst possible time in the AFC Championship game against the Buffalo Fighting Maggie Grays. And it's all going to come to fruition on that day. I believe it. It's just waiting. She's waiting for the right moment to make her appearance, and I think that's when it's going to happen.
You don't think you win every game and through eternity by a field goal on a last second call? Like, it's been a thin margin for this run, right? Right, Dave?
Yeah, it's beyond that. I mean, like yesterday, it was a 35-yard field goal attempt. I mean, it wasn't like it was a 65 where the kicker had to flatten the kick. I mean, four players could have blocked it. I mean, it was the most absurd thing I've ever seen in my life.
What happened to the Broncos' O-line? Like, not a single guy even attempted a block. I don't understand was going on.
The worst I'd ever saw. I mean, it looked like the finish of a sprint or something, and breaking across the tape. It was awful. Second thing, poll question for you guys. Which is more likely to happen? Aaron Rodgers comes back for another season next year, or Mike McCarthy gets fired before the end of this year?
Ooh, Jerry does not like to pay people not to work, Dave. You know that.
Yeah, you say that, but he also doesn't like to fire his friends. Like, that's why he kept Garrett on for three extra years.
This is why I think McCarthy's finishing out the season, yeah, yeah. And it's not even close. And then I think that Rodgers is going to be back.
Yeah, I don't know about Rod. I don't know. I understand what you're saying about McCarthy. You guys are probably right. But have you ever seen, you watch him on the sideline. That was something that struck me yesterday. I have never seen a more discerning-looking head coach. Nobody talks to him. He doesn't talk to anybody. Mm. I mean, it's almost like he's got B.O. I mean, you know, he's just kind of, he's in his own world. He looks so unengaged. And this team, they were laughing. They were laughing it up on the sideline. You know, Mike and all of them were laughing it up. I mean, this has turned into the biggest clown show in the history of professional sports.
Wow, Dave, that's a big claim considering, you know, the Browns exist as an organization. But, you know, this season has just been downright terrible. Dave, you're the best. Thanks so much. The idea that Mike McCarthy may have B.O. did not cross my mind, but that would be a hilarious twist. He doesn't look like he has B.O.
By the way, why are you picking on the Browns? At least they made the playoffs last year. You got the Jets and the Giants right here in town.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah,
I could have insert.
There's like nine jokes. Like Dave said, they're the biggest joke. Is that true? I guess in a way because we spent so much time talking about them, but there's a lot. There's some really bad teams this year in the NFL.
Can we get that Micah Parsons quote back up? So this was Parsons yesterday. So he's back finally after, you know, being injured for a while. And he said this about Mike McCarthy's future when asked by Jory Epstein.
You know, that's above my pay grade about if Mike is coaching again next year. But, you know, all coaching aside, coaching, you know, Mike can leave and go wherever he wants. But the guys, I kind of feel bad for is guys like Zach Martin and guys who might be on their last year or on their way out, you know, because that's who I wanted to hold the trophy for. You know, you want to win games and do great things with those type of legends who put in more time and work than Mike McCarthy ever did. So those are the kind of guys that I have so much sympathy and hurt for.
I mean, I sometimes wonder if Michael Parsons understands, like, you realize these cameras and microphones are on, right? They're recording. That is not even a support defense of your coach at all. That is sad that the star player feels like they can say that about a head coach. It doesn't really matter what happens to him. He's going to be fine. Like, wish you the best of luck, pal.
Yeah, I didn't read it that way for some reason. I think that Micah was just talking as Micah does. I never, to me, like you're saying, like he was burying his coach. I think he was just...
I think he was being flippant about his coach. I think he was showing no regard for his coach. Like, oh, I don't care what happens to Mike. I care about Zach Martin. I care about the offensive lineman who's put in this much time. But, like, you know, it's almost like Mike McCarthy is just this afterthought. He's the head coach of the football team.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, are people taking that in Dallas as Micah Parsons going after his coach? Because I, for some reason, and maybe I'm being naive, like I didn't feel like that was an attack. It was just a sort of an offhanded comment that I think he came out a way he didn't mean it to. I did feel like, obviously, is anyone saying, oh, Micah Parsons is giving up on Mike McCarthy? Probably not, because he was actually flying around like crazy yesterday, which is bizarre because the rest of the team is bad and like he is chasing down guys left and right. I don't know. Is people saying, oh, Micah Parsons giving up on Mike McCarthy? I didn't see that headline.
It was basically like, I don't care if he's here or not here.
But it was also like, he's a good coach. He'll get a job wherever he wants. That's how I read it.
Doesn't he want this job? Like, wouldn't it be, oh, you know, I want to play for him in the future. Not, I don't care if he basically as a coach, like if he stays or goes. That's not exactly buy-in.
I mean, they're 3-6. Wait, buy-in to what?
I mean, listen, if you don't think it's the coach's fault, then you defend the coaches. He definitely didn't do that. Coming up, we do the NFL in 60. Every game, 60 seconds.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.